I'm not sure there was any one single thing that brought the grains back around in a big way and showed us real clearly that we held the line on Friday, reversed thrusters today, and so now we have a very good idea of levels we do not want to take out, i.e., Friday's lows and to a lesser degree today's lows. Otherwise, we're going to have to move very quickly on getting our 24 corn and beans hedged and starting more sincerely and more seriously in the 25 corn, beans, and wheat markets. But I'm hopeful that that is still a ways away. We had several things happen in the overnight market that did not get traded in the daytime trade. And if you look at the heat map on the very first graphic here on this section, you see that by sector, everything except for the Dow Jones mini futures, which that ended up coming back around after I printed this off, cotton and the dollar were the only two things showing negative on the screen on Monday's trade. It was really a commodity risk on mindset, including the metals markets. And so, does that risk on mindset coming through today, was that due to Russia being threatened now with potential hit to their oil areas and oil facilities because the United States is going to allow them to go ahead and send missiles deeper into Russia? Was it China officially canceling outright or cutting back pretty substantially in some cases their export tax rebates for crude oil, copper, aluminum, soybean oil? Or was it India coming in and buying U.S. soybean oil on the daily export update this morning, taking on 30,000 metric tons of U.S. bean oil for this marketing year delivery when they have Indonesia right next door, and in a couple other countries too? So we've got some things out there that we're not sure if any one thing did it or whether it was a combination of things, but I will point to one major feature that I talked about last week on that closing market commentary that I sent you on Friday, or I think it was Friday, maybe Saturday, and that's the 10-year Treasury notes. We don't want the yields to go any higher because that attracts the higher dollar mindset in the trade. What we saw today was a weakening of the bond yield, bond yields, and therefore a strengthening of the actual bond prices. And you notice on that weekly chart that I have here, we did go into the major resistance drawn off the last, 6 or 7 weeks of downward trending, and that's that resistance line that is in purple. We're testing that, and I'm wondering if there's some additional short covering that's coming because that did really trigger, I think, in part, one of the big reasons why the dollar fell lower and was down quite a bit. And that in turn helped currencies like the Russian ruble, and you can see how closely aligned that ruble gaining on the dollar is to the soft red wheat futures having any kind of chance at the mercantile exchange to be able to go higher. And so I think it was a coordinated feature, but I like that. That's the key, is when you have the treasury yields going down, you have the dollar going down, you have the crude oil having an outside day higher, as you can see on that daily continuation chart. There's a lot we have to still make up for. But it was a very powerful day on the heels of Friday's close and the keeping the market together, as I said. So last week's high in hard red wheat was 564 and a quarter, soft red 572 and three quarters. Those are a long way away still after today's rally. But if we can get back above those levels, that should give us clearance to get above 435 and nearby corn. And if we can get a 435 close above on a weekly basis, that would put us in place for another week above that 52-week moving average and new monthly highs. Then I could start talking about targets of 460 to 475 to start hedging into some of our 2024 corn in the bin. And those were our May highs. If you go back to 460 to 473 in a fraction, I think it was. So that'd be our May highs, and that's really the ultimate goal, is to get back up into the pre-summer highs before we start selling any corn with the leadership of wheat, bonds, and crude oil. Notice also, as I conclude this section, on the outside macro side of the equation, is if you look at the commodity investor section at the very bottom, a common denominator for a potential sell signal in the S&P 500 and at the same time a buy signal potentially in the crude oil market for the investment commodity community is that bond chart. And so I put that bond chart again down at the very bottom when looking at the possible sell in the S&P and buy in the crude. I'll know a lot more by the end of this week on those as well, as far as whether those are worth going after. But I really like the fact that we're whittling down the premium in that $5,500 or $5,500 strike E-mini S&P put in the December contract, and really hope that we can go sideways to higher another week before we get a sell signal so that we can whittle that down even more and maybe get it below 10, and that way have a much better risk reward. Last thing I'll conclude with on this section, and something that we'll have to carry into tomorrow and watch, is the Brazilian minister, farm minister, came out and said that they're working with expanded trade deals with China. Peru was earlier talking about this as the Chancay port is getting ready to open in Peru. I talked about that mega port getting ready to open. It's here, it's now. And it really puts the pressure on the soy complex, as does the weather pattern in Brazil and the potential turn for the Argentine crop belt to get some rains about 10 days out. If that all comes to fruition, you know, I think the beans are going to continue to be a problematic feature. And I could see that corn-bean ratio continuing to work with the funds buying corn and selling beans. But I'll deal with that later in the week. But first, we want to talk about, you know, this Brazil minister touting these farm deals with China. The interesting part, though, is when you look at the types of commodities that he's talking about potentially covering. It's fruit, beef, and pork, and as well talking about meat packers getting approved for exports into China. So this really puts an interesting dynamic on the meat market here in the United States, and I'm blending over into the livestock audio commentary a little bit, but the question I have to answer for you all is, does this help us in that there's less Brazilian meat coming to the United States because China is going to take more and therefore our prices will be elevated with less imports, or will this hurt our export base, and which number is bigger? So I'll keep that at this point, but to conclude this section, we want follow through, strong crude, weak dollar, strong bonds, strong wheat. Thanks, everybody.